O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We enter into a difficult section of Luke these days. The readings for the next several weeks deal with judgment. The judgment that comes at the end of time when God's kingdom shall be established on earth. They are not always easy passages to read, particularly from our 21st century mindset. I can tell you they are even more difficult readings to preach on. For those of our brothers and sisters with a more fundamental approach to their biblical scholarship, it can be easy to succumb to becoming judgmental oneself, feeling comfortable in knowing all the rules as set forth in Holy Scripture. But if there is one thing of which we can be certain, it is that if we are truly comfortable with our interpretation of the gospel message, if we really think we fully understand what Jesus is telling us, we are probably missing a major point or two somewhere. It is when we become most comfortable and complacent with our understandings of Scripture that we must look even deeper. Jesus' parables always tend to turn things upside down and inside out, revealing to us the nature of the kingdom of God, while also revealing that it is not always what we may think or expect. Our lesson this morning concerns material possessions and wealth and how we should relate to it. Jesus is speaking before a crowd that earlier in the chapter is described as being in the thousands. Out of this crowd, someone approaches him and asks Jesus to settle an inheritance dispute. Jesus declines, but warns that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. The parable of the rich fool follows. Is Jesus telling us to give up all material possessions in this parable? Although he doesn't directly tell us to sell everything we own and give it to the poor, as he does to the rich young man in chapter 18, is that what he is implying? Are we being told that in order to be in God's good graces, we must all give up everything and take a vow of poverty? Does that mean chastity and obedience will be close behind? Should I not then take out that long-term health insurance policy in case I end up in a nursing home in 30 years? Well, maybe 20 years. Should I stop contributing to the pension fund? The poor rich fool in our story this morning is not condemned solely for possessing wealth, but rather on the basis of his relationship to his wealth. For this man, all there is his wealth. Notice in the story, the only characters are the man and his possessions. There are no other people mentioned, no friends, no family, no community. The only pronoun is I. He has more wealth than he can handle, but it never occurs to him that he could or should share any of it with those who may be less fortunate than he. His only thought is to hoard all his possessions unto himself in the thought that it will ensure his future security. He has put his entire faith in his wealth. His possessions have come to own him, leaving no room for others or for God. This is his downfall. And God calls him on it. This is the only parable in all the Gospels in which God is a speaking character. You fool, God tells him. Not a good beginning for what is to follow. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Tonight he will die, and all his precious wealth will be left to be divided by and among people he had no time or love for when he was alive. They will eat, drink, and be merry at his bequest. We see the same struggles being acted out today on several fronts. To say we live in a consumerist culture would be, I am afraid, more than a bit of an understatement. Speaking of stuff, yes, I love my stuff. I'm sure you love your stuff. But I am still trying to figure out the theological implications of this reading falling on the weekend of our annual rummage sale. Great quantities of stuff changed hands this weekend. The gridlock we see in legislatures both nationally and locally often seem to revolve around arguments of how and on what we will spend money. We are a great and blessed nation, a nation built by immigrants. My family has only been in this country for two generations. Even those who can trace their lineage to before this country was a country still came from somewhere else, and often under less than desirable circumstances. Yet now there is great argument to limit how we share the blessing and opportunity this nation has to offer to current and future immigrants. Surely there is wealth to share. The struggle is particularly acute in the delivery of health care, a system of which I was a part for many years. We are the wealthiest nation on the planet, and yet the only industrialized nation that does not provide health care for all its citizens. We have the most expensive health care in the world, but it is not always the best. Rather than constructively working toward a solution, the most recent attempts at health care reform have either been attacked by its opponents as treasonous or assailed by efforts to dismantle it without viable alternatives. Once again, it will be a contentious election year issue. And people still suffer. Upwards of 50 million people in this country have no health care coverage or access to care. What does our parable this morning say of such thinking? There are many other issues we could explore as well. World hunger, the prison industrial complex in this country today, poverty, both domestic and global. The list goes on and on. I realize I paint these examples with an extremely broad brush, condensing extensive and complex issues into seemingly simple, even offhand solutions. But that is not the point of our lesson this morning. Rather, it calls us again to consider a recurring theme of the gospel message: relationship. Jesus is always calling us into closer and deeper relationship with God and with each other. The poor rich fool's misunderstanding was not in his wealth, but in his relationship with his wealth to the exclusion of all else. Our faith offers us so much more to life than the mere accumulation of stuff. This is not to say we should be foolhardy or unprepared for the future, but the meaning of our existence is not that the person who dies with the most toys wins. Our faith, our relationship with God and each other, temper and focus how we relate to our material possessions and how we share our blessings and wealth. Although not a kitchen magnet I have seen yet, many of us have heard the adage, there are no pockets in shrouds. In the end, stuff is only stuff. And whose will it be? Increase and multiply upon us your mercy, Lord, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal.